Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. I am putting my camera on talking. Let me put it on me. That's me. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And you're listening to us on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, YouTube. Thanks for tuning in. As always, my co-host, although it's a surprise to some, Nicole Sachs.
Hello.
And I got to get you on camera. Hold on. I'm having some camera issues, so here, see, there you go. Look at that, how beautiful you are. And we got a couple of your friends. Oh, boy, oh, boy. We got a couple of your friends here you hadn't seen in a long time.
Yeah, reunion.
A couple of my friends I haven't had on the show since 2018, and I really should have because they're both great. Let me take the camera over here. People know this guy. He is apparently so. Apparently, Ann Rice knows you. All sorts of people know you.
Yeah, Ann and I. And I'm her stepchild.
Well, the author, club promoter, if you're into vampires, you know who this guy is.
Yeah, but
Fang Smith, excuse me.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be who I am without Anne.
Okay, Fang Smith, Father Sebastian.
Yes.
Yes. I see the fangs. I see the fangs from here.
You do?
I do. And
you're
actually,
visible.
You're visible. And actually, I'm glad you you're here, and I'm glad you. This is, I think, the person that brought you here. And I gotta, yeah, here. This camera's gonna. This
rock and roll, Rachel.
This is rock and roll, Rachel, right here. Rachel Sainsmith. Did I pronounce that right?
Sainsmith.
I'm so sorry. I'm just gonna call you Rachel from here on in. But
cool.
You've been involved in the scene for a long time with your vampire cosmetics, now Vampire Magazine, all sorts of things. And you're working with Father Sebastian a lot closer than you did.
We're doing Vampire Magazine together.
In 2018. So we're going to talk about all of that. Before we do, I have to get to our sponsors real quick because everybody loves a good... Yeah, there you go. See, there's one of them. Raise Energy Drinks. I got to get some energy here to keep up with you guys. Oh, yeah. And there you go. You pop the top. This is a South Beach flavor. Yeah, Count Chocula is not our sponsor, but we would like him to be. That's why I brought that. I found that at the apparently 50-year anniversary of Count Chocula. But let me tell you about Raise Energy Drinks. I just got a case. It's a new flavor I haven't tried before. It's right here, Beach Mode, South Beach Raise Energy Drinks. I love it. Let me try it. Nicole's already got a head start, and she likes it. Let's see what this looks like here, what this tastes like.
Oh, it's in the middle.
Oh, that's good. That's like a pina colada. I like
it
that.
Is.
Yes.
And the best. I don't want to stay up all night.
And the best part is zero sugar, zero carbs, zero crash. Do what I did. Use our code that will be in all podcast descriptions and our YouTube description. Get a Raise Energy Drink case for 15% off with the code DARKMARK. There'll be a link that you can use in the description of the show, and you can get your Raise Energy Drinks. Also, Audible. Everybody loves a vampire yarn. They got them all.
Everybody loves a vampire story.
Yes, they've got Father Sebastian's stepmother, Anne Rice. They've got all her books. They've got Bram Stoker's Dracula. They've got any vampire story that has is on audiobooks is on Audible. And you can get a vampire story for free. Go to audibletrial.com/DMS. audibletrial.com/DMS. You get a free book and access to hundreds of Audible originals.
I want to join.
It's free. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to do it.
Do it. Go ahead. We get paid and it's free for you. And you can cancel the next day or in 30 days. You still keep the book.
Ooh.
I just downloaded Rob Halford's document, Rob Halford's autobiography.
Cool. I'm working on my autobiography.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. But
that's going to be scary.
I think yours. His is very gay and very metal, and it's a very fascinating story. And your story is fascinating too. Let's get to it. No, go ahead.
I don't know if people are going to want to hear it.
Your story? Well, you told a lot of it last time, so I haven't seen
new content.
Oh boy.
Please indulge.
Rachel and I revived a magazine called Vampire Magazine from the 90s together.
Oh, so the title was around before.
Yeah, I did issue 1, 2, and 3 in 1997, 98, and 99.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a product that was similar. It was based on the Vampire Almanac, which is kind of like a witch's almanac.
I remember that, yeah.
Okay.
And it was the companion to that. And then Rachel came to me and she's like, you know, magazines are making a comeback. And I'm like, oh yeah? And she's like, I want to do Vampire Magazine. And I'm like, well, here's my old covers. And Rachel was like, I can design it and take all the stress off you. And I was like, I like that idea.
Now, is this the, how the conversation went, Rachel? Seriously?
It's pretty close, honestly.
Oh, okay. Now, are magazines really making a comeback? I didn't know.
There's actually quite a few that are doing really well financially, surprisingly.
Really?
There's a lot of really niche magazines.
Okay, because I was going to say, we had a celebrity photographer in here last time, and like Time Magazine's out of business.
Not the big guys. Yeah, the big guys are starting
Time Magazine's out of business?
Mm-hmm.
They're not out of business.
Yeah, well, they're only online. They're not publishing.
Oh, really? When did that happen?
I don't know, but that's what I've heard.
There's been a lot. I mean, they spend a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I met Steve McCurry, who was a National Geographic photographer, when I was going to KU in, like, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay them, like, $50,000 cameras as bonuses.
Yeah.
So, like, when you're not doing that kind of volume anymore, I noticed Cosmopolitan, I picked up a copy last month, it's, like, paper thin now.
Oh, yeah.
It's
they
like
all
the
are.
Same material as the tabloids. But our magazine is more along a fine art magazine. It's
right.
premium content, premium photography, artwork, and it's premium price. People will buy it, though. It's
right. I mean, to
$24.99 for the recent issue.
Yeah, I mean, to be to more direct comparison, I think I don't think Gothic Beauty is.
They went online only as well.
Right. So
there really aren't very
WordPress.
Many. There really aren't very many in the Gothic niche still putting out physical copies, and I guess it's a good thing that we are because people keep asking to carry them in small stores around
That's
the
great.
Country and.
Yeah.
You want to see,
that's wonderful.
See the physical,
yeah.
physical copy in their hand.
It's going to be the new vinyl.
I agree with that. I like a good magazine.
Well, you can also download it as a PDF
mm-hmm.
right from vampiremagazine.com.
Yes.
VAMPYRE, which is the...
Right. So this is what I want to get into because I asked you this last time and we never got to it.
Okay. What is the difference between vampire with an I and vampire with a Y?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I appreciate you asking that. So it started.
I'm sure you've heard it before.
Yes, it's very interesting because words are power.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the 19th century, vampires at the beginning of the 19th century were zombies. They were weird creatures that were like zombies that drank blood.
Mm-hmm.
They would come after your family members because they connected to them, and then you had to stake them to the ground, chop their head off, and stuff like that. So there was this guy named Lord Byron. Lord Byron was the first rock star.
I'm familiar.
And Lord Byron was very, very flamboyant and had a court of boys doing his bidding.
As you do.
Okay. And they actually had a word before rock star called Byronic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lord Byron had a lover named John Polidori.
Mm-hmm.
And he broke his heart. So John Polidori got revenge. And as queers do in all their artistic, artistic and flamboyant and fabulous ways...
You said artistic, not autistic.
Artistic.
Artistic, okay.
Yes. They went, and he wrote a short story about a vampire called Lord Ruthven.
Mm.
And he was the first conscious vampire. He was the model for Dracula.
Okay.
Okay. And this was 1819.
Right.
And he wrote the revenge story about Lord Byron destroying everything in his way. And, no, Lord Ruthven, who was the inspiration for Lord Ruthven was the inspired by Lord Byron. It was a revenge piece, a gay
right.
revenge romance piece. And back then, vampire with an I and a Y were interchangeable, but the identity of a human becoming a vampire and keeping their intelligence
mm-hmm.
and their personality, or maybe evolving, was what the vampire with a Y represented. And vampire with a Y was always the underground way that vampire people that in the lifestyle you spelled vampire. Of course, the millennials fucked that up.
How so?
Well, they spelled vampire with a Y, with an I. And I'm like, you little devils, you know, you shouldn't be.
So are you a vampire with a Y or a vampire with an I?
Well, we both suck. And I'm a vampire with a Y.
There
so that's
go.
Why Vampire Magazine
has a Y.
Has a Y. But the problem was is the wonderful search engines and tags and stuff like that were like
Google conflates them.
Right.
It doesn't matter which way you search for it, it comes up the same.
And your makeup is vampire with a Y. Mm-hmm. So.
Typically, if it's referring to fiction, it's with an I. If it's referring to lifestyle or cultural, it's with a Y. Or historical.
And if it has no E at the end, is there like a thing? Because I know there's a movie.
That's just stylistic.
Right. Vampire.
Vampire.
So when were you first interested in vampires? I don't know if we got to that last time.
I don't think we did.
When you were growing up in Missouri and Kansas City, I think.
Actually, I was born in New Orleans.
Oh, well, so there you go. That'll do it.
That's part of it. My mother actually grew up down the street from Anne Rice. She was on the Irish Channel side. Anne Rice was in the Garden District side, but it was the same street, split by magazine.
I lived in New Orleans. I know that.
She attended one of the Lestat Anne Rice Vampire Bowls in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I always heard about that. I think I was 6 years old, and I'm a millennial. I'm 34.
Yeah,
thanks for fucking up Vampire with
I've used him both ways over the years, so he's not wrong.
Right.
I don't know if anyone remembers these little robots. Like, they were called, like, IXL or something. Like these little,
were they like a Roomba?
No, they were like these little robots. You could put cassette tapes in them, and the cassettes would like teach you stuff, and the robot would like talk to you.
Oh, I kind of remember that.
Yeah. This would have been like 1993-ish, 4-ish, somewhere in there.
It was pre-Tamagotchi.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And they had one on Dracula and like the history of like Vlad the Impaler, which why that's being given to a 6-year-old, I have no idea. But I was
so your mother gave you the history of Vlad the Impaler when you were 6.
Mm-hmm. And I was hooked from there.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Now I understand you better.
See, we're going to get down to the bottom of this. I was researching you, and I did not know that you lived in San Diego for a time.
Yeah, for about 4 months.
Really? I thought, okay, because I lived in San Diego myself, so I thought that was like a...
My parents, my dad, that's a tragic story. My father forced me to go to New Jersey. 5 months old.
Oh.
My mother drove across the country with her horse in her van. My dad flew because my dad's a pilot. And he was in the Navy.
Okay.
And he was selling property in Apple Valley. He wanted to get out of the service when he had a child because he didn't want to get killed.
Right.
Vietnam wasn't fun.
I've heard it was not a picnic.
And he was a pilot in the U.S. Navy. And I was born at Balboa Medical Center, the same medical center, in the same room by the same doctor as my little brother from another mother, Don Henry.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the urban legend that we like to spread. But we've been born in the same hospital.
So you were born in San Diego?
Yes.
Oh, wow. No, because I was born, oddly enough, I was born in Brooklyn, but we moved when I was a little kid. We have so much in common.
Yes, we switched.
Except you make fangs. Now, and I do this, but I haven't seen you in a while. So I haven't seen you since, or I saw you briefly, but I haven't really talked to you at length since 2018. This COVID must be killing you.
Nope.
Killing your business. Nope.
Nope. No, we're doing virtual events, which is great because we have a wider audience. Like, we have cast members for The Endless Night. We're doing one October 1st. We have about 200 people RSVP'd. It's a virtual event. We make Zoom rooms with different hosts. And there's like a seance room with Patty Negri, who's here in L.A. Then we have Richard Lael, who's in Long Island. We have one of our hosts is in South America, in Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
We have a bunch of Mexicans coming. We have Australians. And it's really cool because it brings people together when they wouldn't be able to do the same thing before.
So it's a blessing, this pandemic.
There's people that survive change and people that don't.
Right, and you survive change.
I'm pretty good at change.
Okay. I didn't know because I was trying to figure out how you were making money these days.
Well, you know, the thing is I've started a company called Sabretooth 3D,
mm-hmm.
and we're 3D printing fangs, custom made for you. You get an impression kit, and you might bite into the kit. And so... when I make fangs in person, I call that Sabretooth old school.
Right.
And it's a lot more intense.
A lot more expensive?
No. It's the same price. It's about $200 for the including the kit and the first pair of fangs.
Okay.
But what's great is if you lose a fang or break a fang, you can reorder it.
Yeah, that is cool.
Just don't do it on Halloween week.
Yeah, that would be your busy time.
But we're coming back. We're doing I just did an event in Salem at the end of August, full event, masks and testing.
Okay.
Then we did Mexico City. Then we did Dallas. I haven't.
Dallas is fun.
Dallas is Dallas.
Yeah.
And we have New Orleans coming up next month.
Well, that's the big one. That's always the big one.
It's going to be an interesting year because we're not expecting the huge crowd. We're expecting a solid crowd.
Right.
Of diehard people that want to go down and support the tourism industry.
The city really needs us there.
Yeah, I would think so.
All the local businesses.
Well, especially as of late. Yeah, I think the vampires are going to save the New Orleans.
So is New Orleans going to be a virtual event or a real event?
It's both. In person.
Awesome.
Yeah, both.
We're going to have a Zoom room with the projection of the main stage and the dance floor.
So people can go online and you know, it's not the same, but they can still see it and experience it.
Like, for example, Biden, bless his fucking heart, okay, opens up immigration to Europeans and the rest of the world for vaccinated people November 2nd. Asshole.
Okay. Right after your event.
Right after the event. So all my European friends who are about to buy tickets, 30 of them can't make it. Mm. So what we're going to do is we're going to have them on the virtual thing. We're also, the virtual event will be free for ticket holders. And we've only, believe it or not, we ran the Endless Night Vampire Ball.
In New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Last year, virtually. But the performers and everything was there at the House of Blues still in the French Quarter.
Actually, we pre-recorded it all.
But...
Really?
It was filmed from the House of Blues, and that was the setting for it, but it was projected online.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We were in the House of Blues on Halloween night last year.
Right.
Doing a virtual vampire ball with 480 people in the Zoom rooms, because we have different Zoom rooms. It is a really cool way we do our virtual events.
Okay.
So what we did is we looked at all these different options, and the technology is really not there, but innovation is.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we got a pretty hardcore Zoom account, like the $200 version.
Okay.
Ones.
The one that's a lot more advanced than the one I have.
Yes. We're not using it as much now because we have the in-person events.
Okay.
We're making up, and we rolled all over the tickets and gave everybody a thing. And thank God for the SBA loans and the PPE loans and stuff like that from the government to stimulate the economy. That was great. So we flew 12 members to New Orleans. We had 12 people in the House of Blues. We were all in costume. We were sitting on the dance floor and on couches with the DJs DJing their normal sets. And we had a virtual event's usually shorter.
Right.
But we had Johanna Maresco from the Crew Shadows in her room. She hosts the Vampire Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like just talking.
Well, she was dancing her brains out. She was loving it.
She's very entertaining. I'm just saying, like, it's more of like a conversational room, and then you have like the dance room, and then
the dance floor is great because you have DJ Angel and Matt V. Christ who just like go bonkers DJing because they can see the screen with all the little Brady Bunch squares,
right?
And everybody's in their house dancing, and they're like, so there's people on the dance floor. There's a freaking dance floor.
Right.
World, all over the world.
That's great.
And people are by their pool or, you know, by the sunset. Like the Australians, it was the afternoon, so they were in the
graveyard. In the sun, yeah.
They were in a graveyard.
Oh, that's cool.
They were in the graveyard.
That's very cool.
During the day.
Yeah, they had their, like, and people will make parties for this.
Yeah.
House parties. So we had different tickets. There was single tickets, couples tickets, and household tickets.
Nice.
So rather than being just a big party in one spot, the whole world's partying with you.
Pretty much. And we have the Vampire Lounge, we have the dance floor, we have the seance room where Patty Negri does seances, and she's perfected virtual seances.
They're intense. They work.
They work really well.
Right.
And then we have a ritual chamber, and the rituals are more intense than in person, I'll tell you that.
Really?
I'm loving the virtual events because I could just sit there in my boxers and wear my jacket like I am right now. Oh, girls, I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'm sure Lord Byron would approve. But but here's the thing. This is my theory, and I don't want to disparage any companies that you employ, but My theory is Zoom caused the pandemic because I never heard of Zoom before the pandemic.
You didn't?
I heard of Skype. I heard of FaceTime. Never heard of Zoom.
It was around.
The day, I know it was around, but the day after the pandemic, everybody's like, oh, I'm on Zoom. You got to go on Zoom. You got to go on Zoom. You got to go on Zoom. And everybody went on Zoom.
There are definitely companies that got lucky with contracts following the pandemic.
And I have a Zoom account.
We're in a pandemic.
I know. I'm doing a Zoom show tomorrow. But I think... they say follow the money.
Something else that helped during the pandemic to keep everything going for Endless Night was the Vamporium Shop.
Yes.
Which is now hosted on vampiremagazine.com.
Well, please tell us about the Vamporium Shop, Rachel.
Well, you can.
I'm getting you in the conversation, Rachel. I know.
I'm here.
I know if I start him off, he's going to go for a long time, and he's got great, interesting things to say.
But I'm learning about Rachel from this.
Yeah, so let me, yes. Let's hear about the Vamporium.
The Vamporium is where you can buy the magazine. You can buy some of my makeup. Onks. We have different kinds of onks. We have pure silver onks. We have pewter onks. We have enamel-coated onks. We have books, The Mysteries of Paris, that Father Sebastian has written. And
that was not a good book.
Different editions of Black Tales. I love it.
He's never less than honest, but... No, I was looking on your website, and there was like a whole Dracula palette that you have. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty cool, and you're always beautifully made up, so you know what you're doing.
Thank you.
I when you see me in makeup, it's a horror show. I mean, how do you?
It's eyeliner and basically, a Dracula cape.
Basically.
Speaking of magazines, and also how I got introduced to vampires and Sebastian. So I was like 15 years old. This was like 2002. And right. I picked up a copy of Dark Realms magazine at Hot Topic.
Yes, you're the youngest person in the room. Go ahead.
Am I really?
Oh, of course. But go ahead.
Okay. I didn't know that. Everyone here looks so young. Vampires and all.
Yeah, we're all vampires. That's what it is. You're like the Kirsten Dunst of this room, but go ahead.
Oh, my God, no.
Vampire.
I was 15 in 2002, and I picked up a copy of Dark Realms at Hot Topic.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a magazine put out by Joseph Fargo,
right.
The artist, and Christine Filipacchi did the Gothic Tarot and Nox Arcana.
Mm-hmm.
And that issue happened to have an article on Endless Night in New Orleans.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're going to talk about the author.
I was going to skip over that part.
And you're in New Orleans and you hear about this.
I was actually in Kansas at this point.
Oh, okay.
But I was getting whatever I could of vampire culture that existed in other areas. I was on vampires.com, vampireworld.com, right. Whatever was out at
Vampire
the time.
Freaks?
Yes, Vampire Freaks.
Okay.
It's also how I discovered Nox Arcana,
right.
Who I'm now friends with. So it all comes full circle. But that's the first time I heard about it this night. And so I always wanted to go. And I didn't actually get to go until I moved to Los Angeles. And it was 2016, the first year you had it.
When
I met you.
What did I have?
When 2016, the LA, the first LA Endless Night is where she met
2016?
You.
2016?
I met you in 2016, yeah.
That's why.
Because we all went to the 2018 one. We were all there because I remember saying hi to you and saying hi to you.
Were you dressed as Dark Mark?
Yes, as usual, yes. I have my pinstripe suit, which I don't have anymore, but I'm going to get another one.
What happened to it?
It's a long story. It was there's a flood in the house.
Beetlejuice stole it?
Oh, no.
No, Beetlejuice didn't steal it. But you made a face when I just said that, when I was just talking to Rachel about vampire freaks.
They're not real vampires.
Oh, that's right, because they have an eye.
They're goths.
Right.
No, it's Jet is from the New York scene,
mm-hmm.
and he's a cool guy. He runs a party called Cybertron and the Dark Side of the Con.
Mm-hmm.
But Vampire Freaks, that guy programmed it himself.
Yeah,
it
was, wow. Mm-hmm. Really
impressive.
Back then, we didn't even have MySpace yet. It was just like Pure Ave and Vampire Freaks, and I think there was some people who were like made part of like the Children of Acid site into a
right.
sort of like a social media thing pre MySpace, pre Facebook.
Please, you gotta. Some of us remember Prodigy chat rooms in AOL. Stop it.
Prodigy. I saw Prodigy at a communist festival.
No, not Prodigy the band. Remember Prodigy the computer program?
You know, that was my first introduction to the internet.
I'm sure it was. It was the first introduction for a lot of people.
It was a bulletin board. It was in 1989. My dad was in his office, and he was like, look at my dad's all high tech.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got the newest things. That's why he doesn't use iPhones. We would do the forecast for the he'd dial up on the phone when we'd fly up. We had a plane, so we'd fly around,
mm-hmm.
and he'd like plot the whole course with Prodigy.
Oh, wow. Those were the days.
Yeah. Before.
Do you know what we're talking about?
No, I was a little.
Yeah,
a
it's a little, yeah.
Yeah, too young to be using the internet without supervision at that point.
Right. But yeah, we remember the ding you got mail. But we didn't talk about the Sabretooth Club last time you were here.
Sabretooth
Clan.
Clan, excuse me. I'm sorry. I was thinking.
So,
I was thinking of a little club I had in elementary school. Sabretooth Clan.
So in 1995, I was playing a vampire role-playing game called Vampire the Masquerade.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking awesome. Because there was something unique about Vampire the Masquerade. There was girls playing role-playing games. Women were actually playing role-playing games. They were sitting at the table with us geeks. You ever see the movie Stranger Days? Strange Days? What is the TV show with the kids playing D&D? I'm going to roll a fireball. I'm going to roll a T20 and stuff like that.
Well, this is back in the day when nerds weren't cool.
Well, yeah. And then we took over. And then I was working at a nightclub called Limelight.
Yes, the big church in New York. Very famous.
And I got hired by a guy named Michael Alec.
Mm-hmm.
To do vampire role-playing games.
The party monster.
Yes. Macaulay Culkin, I gave him a rose when I met him once.
Mm-hmm.
When he was sober eating pizza. And what happened was, I was at a LARP, and this guy was making fangs, and I wanted them, so I couldn't get them. I couldn't afford them at the time because I was like 17.
Right.
And this is before 95. I was 20 years old in 1995. And I went to my grandfather. I'm like, can you teach me how to make fangs? He's like, you're fucking crazy. You're saying this little kid.
Right.
And now my aunts think I'm cool.
And your grandfather was a dentist?
My grandfather was an orthodontist.
Okay.
So I started, I got some of the material and I started making some fangs and I practiced on a dental molds, and then I asked my mom. And when I was 19, I made my mom a pair of fangs for Christmas.
Aww.
1984.
Yeah. And by the way, my mother's birthday is on Friday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mark's
happy
mom.
Birthday.
Yes.
And so
I'm not getting her fangs, but that's a
so I my 6 month of making fangs, my first year of making fangs was 1995, and I had an adventure. I went to the Bank nightclub, and I looked up, and I saw this giant guy named Peter Steele, and I was like, are you a vampire? And he goes, I am Fang Guy. And then I had a whole bunch of adventures that summer, and on the 7th of August, 1995, I had a fatal decision to make. Do I call my brand the Dark Tooth Fairy or Sabretooth?
I like the Dark Tooth Fairy. But you know,
of course you would.
I'm always a contrarian. But then again, for people that may not know, and if you're listening to a vampire show, I don't know how you don't. But Peter Steele was the lead singer of Typo Negative.
Yes, yes. So then I went to the Anne Rice Ball in New Orleans. So they started nicknaming my fan clients Sabretooths.
Okay.
Father Sebastian Sabretooths.
So yeah,
it's kind of like Sharkies for Black Milk leggings, or. Or undead heads for not that no one ever used that undead head dead heads for
right for Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead.
Undead heads would be good.
Yeah,
we might have to patent that.
Yeah, you can use that. Go ahead. I just made that up. I started making fangs, and then I tried all these marketing techniques in New York to try to like make fangs sell off season, because I'm making fangs, this is great.
Right. Now, was there a little trial and error as far as how to figure out how sharp to make them, the shape? Were there any that just didn't come out?
Yeah, I fucked up a lot. I mean, it was trial and error and stuff like that, but right. I had worked with a dentist for 18 months beforehand to learn the techniques, and then I came up with a family tree concept where Mark, I made you fangs and you got Nicole and you referred Nicole. That was the only thing. I tried five fangs. You get five fangs. Just bring me five fangs.
Yeah. Tell two friends. They tell two friends and so on and so on and so on.
So what happened was my fanged pyramid scheme worked.
Wow.
Really well. And then people started calling their lineages. They went to me and they were like, we want a charter for a household.
Okay.
Okay, and a house was a kind of like a coven of vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sabretooth started as a house, and then it got so big with so many houses, people wanted to make houses underneath it. The Sabretooth culture was based on Vampire the Masquerade, mm-hmm. but in real-world application. Like, you know, instead of glamour, we use, like, neurolinguistic programming and pheromones and stuff. But the thing is that LARPers, role players, weren't buying my fangs because they mm-hmm. were students and artists and, right. and stuff like that. And just I noticed that there was a certain mentality amongst people that wanted fangs. They wanted it. It's like yeah. they're just like ready to go, and they're like, let's make fangs.
So do you remember when Rachel got her fangs?
Yes.
How enthusiastic she was?
It was a little dangerous.
Yeah. How enthusiastic were you getting those fangs? And when did you get them?
I think I asked specifically for very sharp ones.
That doesn't surprise me.
As you do.
So
It was 2017.
Yeah. And do you make them really sharp?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Very nice. I think I saw them. I think I've seen them. But they're good. Anyway, so go ahead. So you're in the clan.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're surrounded by three vampires right now.
Yeah, it's true. Father Sebastian made my fangs, and actually...
I was going to ask you to wear them.
Oh.
I'm sure.
Now I think about it.
I was going to say, my friend Jason, who actually works for Vampire the Masquerade, bought those fangs, so that comes full circle. Vampire the Masquerade sponsored my fangs yes. with Father Sebastian.
When, you know, Vampire the Masquerade as an IP
uh-huh.
is gone through many incarnations, and... It's really interesting to see how the different tribes of vampires exist.
Right.
And the lifestyle of vampires don't mix with the role players. But sometimes there's crossovers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like your whole life you've been trying to get that crossover.
I just go with it.
Okay.
Okay. But Sabretooths come from, like we just did, there was a thing called Bi-POC Vamp Day.
Okay.
Okay. And... I went through my Instagram and I collected all the pictures of POC people of color, and I posted I had 40 pictures, and I realized that I did some demographic work. I realized that 30% of my fan base is black women.
Wow.
And oddly enough, about 50% of my fan base is black women, but that's a whole different story. The other 50% are gay men and old women. But go ahead.
Okay.
They like him chubby.
So Sabretooth, in 1996, a woman approached me.
Okay.
In the beanpacking district, she had called me. I got a phone call from this woman named Kitty Boots. And she called me up, and I had the Vampire Magazine in production, the Vampire Almanac, Hot Topic was buying my stuff.
Right.
I just threw a 3,000-person vampire ball on a Tuesday night at Limelight in New York at the end of July. So I get this phone call from Kitty Boots, and she's like, the Empress of the Imperial Drag Queen Court of New York would like to have an audience with the King of the Vampires. And I'm like, first of all, I'm not King of the Vampires. I'm a dad. She's like, you're 19. Okay. And I'm like, dad will go further than king,
right?
Okay. But she's like, all right, prince of the vampires. And I'm like, I'm not doing the royal thing,
right?
That's because I was trying to differentiate myself from Vampire the Masquerade, because the right. LARPers weren't buying fangs,
right?
Okay. And they were a different breed than lifestylers. And New York had an underground vampire community that wasn't role-playing games.
Okay
And so I go to the meatpacking district past Hogs and Heifers, which is this biker bar that was in movie Coyote Ugly. And there's this Kitty Boots meets me in front. No Ubers back then.
Yeah.
And I go into the bar. And there's these kitschy bar called Hell.
Okay.
It's like red sapphires and jewels everywhere. And I pull open the thing and I see her, the Empress. Chichi Valenti was smoking one of those long cigarette holders
mm-hmm.
with a cigarette on it, and she had like a white dress, and I just remember her. She doesn't remember the exact dress she wore. I wish I had a video of this.
Pre-cell phones, kids.
She was like, how would you like to be my vampire son
and join me at a party the second Wednesday of every month, starting in March of 1997, called Long Black Veil and the Vampire Lounge. We stole the name Long Black Veil from the Chieftains Band.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a song by the Chieftains.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Gods or Vampires. So,
but it sounds like it does.
Yeah, so she opened this club at 14th Street in Washington called Mother, and it was awesome. It was no bigger than this room, and they were queer as fuck, and the gays welcomed the vampires, and every Thursday for 3 years we had vampires, and the movie Blade.
Yeah.
You know, the entrance to the movie Blade with the rave?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a feeling that they kind of stole that idea from us. Do you know why?
Why? The sprinklers?
No, not the sprinklers. That was an original thing. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We were in the meatpacking district.
Right.
And at 3 o'clock, we had to close our door. We couldn't let anybody in because there was cow carcasses outside of the entrance. Mm. So when we would clean the bar and leave the club, we'd have to walk through blood to get to our taxi.
Right.
Okay, and we had pushed cow carcasses out of the way, and Blade came out around 98.
Around that time, and they had to go through cow carcasses to get to the club.
The writers of True Blood, the writers of Blade, looked at the vampire community. Mm-hmm. And what I tried to do was, instead of clan, we had houses, but houses... So, basically, Sabretooth is the progenitor of all the modern vampire clans. And in 1998, Blade came out.
Mm-hmm.
I started noticing an extraordinary large number of African-Americans from Harlem coming down to our club.
Yeah.
And we were like, come on in, you know.
You didn't think they were going to slay you or anything?
No, they weren't slayers. They were, no. They would buy
fangs. I'm going to be like Wesley Snipes, goddammit, and kill some vampires.
Well, they would buy fangs at the Halloween store.
Okay.
And they would use, so this family tree system that I created. So if, like, I made you fangs and then
right.
you referred Nicole. And then she referred Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of went viral with my fang shop. It worked really well for
That's great.
Years. And bloodlines were forming. Lineages were forming.
What do you mean by that?
Like, Rachel would start the House of Valmont.
Okay.
And Nicole would start the House of Six.
Yes.
Okay. And the creativity... And what happened was is about 99, Blade had come out and really gave a good role model for African-American vampires.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of black people and people of color in the club Mother already.
Right.
The vampire community was thing, but these were like artists from NYU and stuff like that. The kids in Harlem and the Bronx started using my family tree structure and my lingo that I created for the club that I differentiated from Vampire the Masquerade.
Right.
In place of gang structure.
Really?
Yeah, but they were like good kids. They were like the vampire. They were doing, like, they opened a nightclub at 113th in Lexington called Hidden Shadows. And I swear to God, they used all my symbolism. They used my Ankh, because it's the legacy Ankh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I had this designed by an artist named Adrenin. And I created all these sigils and symbols, and because I'm in the magic and magical symbolism. I can't tell you how amazing it was to go up to Harlem in 2004 and see 800 black and Hispanic kids wearing capes and fangs and cloaks and trench coats and wearing fangs and contacts. And they were doing this way before.
All because of you.
Well,
you're like Chuck Berry in reverse. Like all the white kids did what he did. Now all the black kids are doing what you did.
It was a convergence of influences.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. But they had 48 different houses.
That's great. Wow. That's amazing.
And I stole the word house from, not from Harry Potter. Where did I get it? Oh, yeah. I got it from Society for Creative Anachronism, a medieval reenactment. They have households.
Okay.
So you join houses. So I was
just
like.
Just like LARPing, but more serious.
Yes, lifestyling.
Yeah, I've never LARPed. That's the thing. And I'm not really...
The cool thing about the SCA is it's a really big focus on history and historical accuracy.
That's great.
No religion.
No.
Are you sure? Father?
It's not that kind of father. He's a dad. He already told you.
I actually started a church.
No, I know. You told me last time.
Oh.
Yeah. We're nonprofit.
I didn't know you had a church.
We have a church.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I'm the high priest. She's my priestess.
Okay.
Come on, Rachel. You please, please elaborate.
I'm leaving that one alone.
Okay.
Because we're not supposed to talk about it.
That's fine.
It's like Fight Club. Speaking of queer vampires and the history of it, though, our last issue of Vampire Magazine that came out before the one that launched this week was focused on Pride. And okay. The
that's great.
Of queer vampires and.
Well, tell me about that, because it sounds great. It sounds like
we had a bunch of interviews and features and stories written by queer and trans vampires.
That's fantastic.
That's so great.
If
yeah.
You wanna know more.
So it should
be the issue. Read the issue.
Of course.
Should be yeah. And so maybe we need to add a letter now, like LGBTQIAV.
Oh.
I'm gonna say one thing.
Okay.
I'm predominantly a heterosexual male, but I grew up in a gay club.
Okay.
And I've had my encounters, and they're wonderful.
So all right.
I'm like 13% gay.
I'm crooked. I'm not fully straight. I'm definitely crooked.
That's fair. Well, that makes me queer.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't like LGBTQ plus GYAZZBBY.
Even if they put the V in there?
No.
Okay.
We just call it queer. It's just, easy.
All right.
For the most part. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to get so nitty-gritty with the terminology. And it's, I mean,
we're all
the whole point is gender freedom of expression.
Right.
And non, you know, queer. Not viewing gender on a binary, not necessarily non-binary, but not.
It should be non-judgmental, I think.
The most important thing is, you know, that society made these rules and they're dumb and we can ignore them.
But that's for sure.
Well, the thing is that,
uh-oh,
you know, that's a long debate, because I don't pride myself, but I like being a guy.
And no pun intended.
And I like the ability for people to be, like, German, the language, has die, die, das. Mm-hmm. Masculine, feminine, and neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I agree with that.
And I wish English was as flexible as that.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. I'm glad it's not, because it's a freaking complex language.
Oh, German is the hardest.
Yeah, I'm sure. Before, I got so many other questions, but Nicole, tell them and everybody here about how great Renegade Kush and Renegade CBD is, since, you know.
So it's been a while since we've seen each other, and since then I've started doing a party blog for Renegade Radio, where I go to parties. We have over 100,000 different people clicking on the links from all around the world, and I tell people about CBD products, because I've been given a whole bunch of CBD products to test for Charlie Renegade and his Renegade Kush and RenegadeCBD.com, and I love it. I enjoy it. It's not a hard job. I don't have to pretend to like it. They're amazing. They taste delicious, and they get you high, and it's all legal.
And the CBD is very comforting and soothing, too.
It's wonderful. And they also gave me these bath bombs, which were so nice. It was like bathing in silk. It's been a great experience.
So what kind of CBD offerings? Pills?
Gummies.
Gummies.
And chocolates. And they just made a new white chocolate that should be on its way. I haven't tried it yet, but I've been told about it, and I can't wait to try it.
I take CBD drops for stress management and anxiety.
Okay.
And it makes me drool.
Well, we would probably, I'll talk to Charlie, but I remember you and I both smoke a lot of weed, so you might be a perfect candidate to get a party package from.
That would be awesome.
Every guest wants a party. Well, if you give it to Father, you got to give it to Rachel, too. So anyway, yeah, I think so. Anyway,
we're behind on that because they still haven't shipped them out. We owe Tommy Chong one, actually. We just interviewed him a couple of weeks ago.
Nice. Yes, so RenegadeCBD.com, RenegadeKush.com.
They're delicious.
I have an announcement.
Yes, please.
On Wednesday of last week, I bent the knee for the first time to a woman.
Really?
Congratulations.
Yes. Rachel wasn't there, sadly.
Right. Yeah, she wasn't the woman.
She showed me a video afterward.
I showed you a video.
Oh, wait a second. You took a video of you proposing to a woman?
I did, because no one would believe me if it happened. And
true.
It starts with an elbow, and then Trish LaBelle from Bar Sinister.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm getting on the knee, and she kicks me in the ass, joking around. Like, then she sits down, and she sits down on the chair next to me, and she sees me open the box, and she's like, "Holy shit!" And then my girlfriend was like, I caught her on the spot.
In public at Bar Sinister 9.
Yeah, at the Vampire Lounge on Wednesdays.
Okay.
And she was like, "Are you serious?" And I'm like, I'm like,
yes, the reaction you were hoping for.
No, she didn't know what she was like.
She was stunned.
Yeah, and she's like, she's really cool, and I'm like, holy crap, I'm settling down. I'm not a slut anymore. Well,
were you a slut?
I was a vampire dad.
Silly question.
I don't know. I mean, some people maybe it was just an image.
I ran a vampire club in the 90s, man.
Free love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I've seen some things go down.
Free consensual love.
So I have to ask, are you going to become like a real vampire dad now? Are you looking for kids, the whole thing?
No, she has three already. So okay. We're pretty solidified.
Do they all have fangs? Are they in the saber tooth?
One.
Are they the saber tooth clan?
No, there's
no minors.
No, we don't. Okay, so first of all, I'm allergic to children. Okay, I'm allergic to minors. If you're 18 and over,
well, you're allergic to children, and you're marrying a woman with three children.
Well, they're her kids. You know, I'm there to back her up.
My kids love him. They call him Uncle Bash.
Uncle Bash?
Oh, really?
What does Bash mean?
It's Sebastian.
It's Sebastian. I've been drinking too much of this. I don't know what's going on, but
no, it's I'm allergic to children because anybody under 21 can't drink and help with the bar guarantee.
Okay. Okay.
I believe that vampirism is an adult's thing.
Okay.
Consent is a very important part of our culture. It's a very important part of Black Veils, and children cannot consent.
And yet, both of you were dabbling in it when you were children.
Yes, and I probably shouldn't have been.
Well, look where you are now. You can put now Vampire Magazine, Vampire Magazine.
I was a delinquent teenager. We don't need to get into those stories. But
wait a second.
I did not join Rachel. Endless Night or any of those things, get my fangs until I was an adult.
Okay, all right.
I was, like, literally, I have, like, both eyes like a hawk on, because you get in trouble for, like, I tried, one night I had this girl who begged me, I want to go to Long Black Veil. Please. I'm like, you're 19. You can't go. Okay. Because there was no setup for 18-year-old and 19-year-olds.
Right.
21-year-olds that have bands. And I'm like, so I asked the manager of the club. He's like, we're legally allowed to do it, but she gets caught with a drink. You're fucked. I caught her with a drink.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do you have a drink, a cocktail of alcohol in your physical presence? And she was like, well, someone gave it to me. So I'm like, you got to leave.
Right.
Okay, I can't fuck around with the liquor license.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know, I'm really strict on the rules. Dress code, 21 and over. Everybody acts like the Black Veil started as the code of conduct for a club. And we had it, this was in 2012, before 9/11. But before 9/11, it was 18 to enter, 21 to feed.
Mm.
And then when 9/11 happened, like, all the security came up, and in clubs you're just not fucking around. You got to be 21 to get in.
Right.
And in Europe, I can let 18-year-olds in.
Yeah.
Their 18 is our 21.
No, yeah.
Okay, European kids grow up faster, and they drink at 16 in most places. So the rules in the States, I need to protect my business.
Mm-hmm.
So I kicked her out, and then she was across the street from me that night, and I'm like, why are you here? You should have gone home. She's like, I spent all my money on alcohol.
Ugh.
And I'm like, and that just, then I was like, militant. You under 21, I'm sorry. So I made it, I made a code of conduct, 21 and over. I'm running a professional business.
Right.
And I care about my customers. I care about my crew, my cast. And I want them to be, I want the business to continue. And if you have minors in your club, and you know they're a minor.
So if you're under 21, you can't get fangs from you.
No, you can get fangs at 16.
Okay.
16 and 17, as long as your parent is present while the fanging's happening.
Okay. What about the 3D fangs?
It's like getting a tattoo or a piercing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The 3D fangs.
How the 3D fangs work is you go to vampiremagazine.com, you order a fang set kit, and sabertooth.com. Has more information on it as well, and you can also buy them there. You order a kit, it gets mailed to you, and we have instructions that tell you how to do the impressions in your own mouth, the putty, the mold, and then you send us a picture. We go over it, see if it was a good enough impression, And
you also have to send a picture of your mouth now because the your smile. Mm-hmm. So the dental technicians. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
And then once we give the okay, you ship it back to us. And then we have your fangs made at our local lab here. And then we ship them back to you, finished. We never actually have to touch
No, I understand,
anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all virtual.
So it's kind of like a Play-Doh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Together. And the thing is that what's cool is once you're scanned in, as long as you don't get any dental work or have any movement of your teeth, mm-hmm. you can, like, order, like, an additional set or a backup pair or...
That's right.
If something happens, you lose one. You don't got to buy a whole new set.
That's right. Well, you must be thrilled that you're working so extensively with Father Sebastian now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, last time I saw you was in 2018, and you—I mean, you had met him, but you had and I—you had gone to the balls, but now you guys are BFFs. You're doing a lot of stuff together.
Rachel is a wonderful businesswoman. Okay, she's learned some hard dibs in life, like every business professional.
Right.
And I trust her with my business very well.
As you should.
She does a great job. She's very dedicated to the customers. Every time I text her something, she's like, I get an email and I'm like, this customer's having this problem. And she's like, I'm already on it. And I'm an artist
mm-hmm.
and a marketer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And having a creative partner like Rachel is really wonderful. And she's also an incredible mom.
Yeah.
She's like, kid, like, I'm like, can you give me a ride to the airport? Yeah, but at this time, because I'm taking the kid to the guitar center for his lesson or taking this girl, my daughter to French school or something like that. So I've gained a lot of respect for Rachel.
And Uncle Bash helps a little bit. The kids like you.
The kids fucking love me.
But let me ask you, because you are part of the Sabretooth clan. So mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. I had heard that something about everybody in the clan is attuned to each other.
Not everybody.
Okay, tell me about this. Then what is this?
There is a ritual when you get fangs in person.
Don't tell them the story. Okay.
Okay, this is something you can't. Oh, okay. I guess you could say it.
Well, the thing is the old clan Sabretooth is the
old school.
The old school, and I get more requests to do that, but
he's one person.
Right. We need to scale this up.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, you've already fanged tens of thousands of people around the world. It's
not tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah. I've made these fangs, these hands have been in
a lot of mouths.
A lot of mouths.
Yep.
And it was funny because I would be in a room and I'd be like, so I made a ritual. Should we tell them about the ritual?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's hear about the ritual.
So the ritual for the old school fanging, old clan Sabretooth, is mm-hmm. five steps. First is the oath.
Okay.
And you raise your hands in the air like Ozzy Osbourne. You go, mm-hmm. by the power of Sebastian.
Yes.
I will not eat or sleep with my fangs on.
Okay.
By the power of Sebastian. I will have great sex with my fangs on. By the power of Sebastian. I can drink and smoke with my fangs.
I'm with you so far.
And by the power of Sebastian. I give him consent to touch my teeth and my head.
Okay.
And I will not tell him about all the kinky things I do because it's none of his fucking business.
Yeah, you don't want to know where those mouths have been.
Especially when couples come in.
Oh, boy.
Ugh.
So I took my brand. I've been working on the 3D fangs for years.
Right.
And they're finally ready. And what we did is we scanned in my original master scans. Like, I made teeth on molds,
mm-hmm.
handed them to the dental technician. He scanned them in. So if I die or get in a car accident, the clan can continue. But the new clan Sabretooths don't get the oath.
I took the oath.
Did you take the oath?
I did. Oh, and then I went through the Book of Black Veils, and I picked out the word elegance. I remember it like it was yesterday.
You also get to pick a name.
Is that what it is?
I don't remember my name, but I did pick a name.
Well, Nicole Six isn't so bad.
Thank you.
So the next step is to... take your fingers and go like this.
Right.
Pull this up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that lets me, pinkies.
Yep.
And then the next step is you read through the book while your fangs are dry.
Okay.
And I wrote a book called Black Veils, which came from Long Black Veil, the nightclub.
Right.
And they're words of power, like elegance, mystery, sensuality, mm-hmm. art, and related to the vampire mythology.
Right.
So I would have people go through the book and pick what word they would like themselves. And a lot of the old school saber-tooths remember which ones they want. And I just released a new edition of the book called the 888 edition for immortality. And
it's a hardcover. It's really pretty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like a... So the Black Veils keep expanding because I keep writing new ones. They're 500-word document, little bits of knowledge.
Right.
And, man, it's really funny watching TV shows, and then they come out. I can trace where they got some of their ideas, and I can see what's different from Vampire the Masquerade.
So, okay.
So Vampire the Masquerade.
So people are using your words.
Yes, and the thing is it's really cool because it was inspired by Vampire the Masquerade,
mm-hmm.
but it was a real-world application.
Like, right.
There's a black veil for chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And how chocolate relates to immortality.
Mm.
And
how does it?
You got to read the Black Veil.
Yeah.
Chocolate. All right.
You can buy it.
I keep trying to get these secrets, but you two are not, you're not going, you're not, what was your word, by the way? You're not going to tell us?
I don't remember which one I picked. It's okay. Written down.
Okay.
This was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, you guys are keeping your secrets.
Hey, can I get a picture of Count Chocolate with me?
Oh, please. Yes, of course. And, we, you know, before we...
I'm sending it to my fiance.
Yay. I like her too. My kids like her also.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna ask you, and actually we're gonna wrap up pretty soon because you gotta meet see the fiance.
Wait,
and
hold on,
I do want to talk a little bit more about
yeah, please.
This issue of Vampire Magazine.
Please
picture for Sub first.
And I want to get a picture of the four of us. But, okay. Yeah, Rachel, tell us about the latest issue of Vampire Magazine. The
latest issue of Vampire Magazine has an extensive, like, 30-page long guide to New Orleans for vampires.
Oh, that's great.
So it gets into depth about all the different locations you can go that are pertaining to vampire history, vampire culture, actual historical stories about real vampires, like real vampires.
So you don't have to take the walking tour. You can just grab the magazine and go.
Yeah, and also where you can learn more. Different, you know, events that are going on and then different mm-hmm. locations that were set in, like, the Vampire Chronicles or, like, you know, True Blood, stuff like that.
That's great.
And then on top of that, we have 3 interviews
mm-hmm.
from Buffy the Vampire Slayer cast members. James Marsters,
I saw that.
And Nicholas Brendan.
That's awesome.
And they go over some things that have not been discussed in other interviews, which is really cool because they've been doing interviews for 20 years.
You got an exclusive with Spike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was Spike until after the interview.
Oh no!
I was like,
"Oh really?"
He was like, "I'm not a Buffy fan."
I am.
Okay.
Oh, I am.
I'm
a huge Buffy fan.
I appreciate Buffy.
It's my favorite TV show.
But okay. I respect the Buffy genre.
So he's not immortal.
Well, I didn't see him on camera. I was like, James Masters.
James said many times that he would always play Spike as long as he still looked like him.
Right.
He doesn't anymore.
Okay.
I understand.
So he's not immortal.
I mean, he still does a lot of stuff. You know. Or Buffy and fans and that stuff. Same with
that's
Buffy.
Great.
Although I will tell you that the three of you, there might be something this vampire thing, because none of you age.
It's true.
As much as I've known you.
Oh, I got gray during the pandemic.
We just can't tell.
There's no wrinkles.
We just don't go out in the sunlight.
That's true. But go ahead, tell us more about the issue.
Challenge in Los Angeles.
So if you like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, this is the issue for you.
Oh, absolutely.
If you want to know about New Orleans vampire lore, this is the issue for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. We also have an interview with Jason Charles Miller.
Okay.
Who is an independent country artist, but also the band Godhead.
Godhead, yes.
Which was featured on the Queen of the Damned movie from 2002.
And played the first Endless Night in 1998.
Also played the first New Orleans Endless Night.
I was in his last music video. It was about cheating and the emotions of it, 10 Pound Hammer. Mm-hmm. And John Schnepp, a good friend of mine who used to do Metalocalypse, it was his last directing work before he passed away. So
I met Jason
back in 2014 at a bar in Kansas. That's a whole other story.
Wow.
When did Godhead end?
Hmm?
When did Godhead end?
It was before that.
Okay. So he's doing country now?
Yeah, he does some great Godhead songs, though, when he performs, like, Bar Sinister.
Sure, yeah, I'm sure.
Like, but, I mean, he's brilliant. He does a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him live, and I've also... I saw him open for Rammstein, but...
He's also friends with Julia Landau. She was also in a music video of his a few years ago, and she was Drusilla on Buffy. He was also in our issue.
I French kissed Till.
Oh, wow. God.
Nobody can top you, Father, but go ahead.
You washed me.
Absolutely. Yes.
How was that?
Let's not go there.
Did the fangs get used that night?
His beard was very stubbly.
I'll bet it was. Go ahead. So you liked the new issue, right?
I love the new issue.
Okay, let's hear about more about the new issue.
Johnny Coffin.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Creator of Coffin Cases.
Yes.
Well known. You could find it at Musician's Friend Guitar Center, the yes. coffin-shaped guitar cases.
Mm-hmm.
It's also coming out with a new wine case shaped like a coffin, which is really cool.
Oh, that's great.
Him
I've met. He's yeah. very nice.
And he also owns the Vampira Brands.
Yes.
He's working on her documentary and book and all that. And he's also did an interview for us. And so did Joseph D'Angelo. D'Angeli, who runs a nature conservatory for bats
oh, cool.
in New Jersey. And he's a bat conservationist.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking all about that.
Wow.
I like bats.
If you're into vampires, it looks like you got everything covered.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. This sounds like a
and
good
it's
issue.
It's longer. It's bigger than the other ones have been. So
how many pages?
With the cover, 80.
Oh, so this is like a book.
Mm-hmm.
So this
80
is
80 pages?
This isn't some flimsy magazine that you get, yeah.
We have the PDF, and she showed me the PDF, but I looked on my laptop, but looking on her mm-hmm. her iPad is much, much more efficient. It's a really good cover. We have a really sexy vampire on the cover who looks like, don't mix up Fred Cimetti and Baron Cimetti. They're two different people.
Oh, I wouldn't dare. Who does he look like?
He looks like Baron Cimetti with tattoos.
Okay. Let me put that on camera here.
Oh, he does.
Look at that. That is a great cover.
So Fred Cimetti is a god that kind of attached himself to. He's the patron spirit of Endless Night.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already being ripped off. What differentiates him from Baron Cimetti mm-hmm. is he's a Lawa. And they're the voodoo spirits that are like a mix of saint and god.
Okay.
A saint, and they're not gods. They're intermediaries between the gods.
Okay.
And Baron Cimetti, and there was a young boy that would tap dance before Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
On the street, and when Katrina happened, which is much worse than Ida, I didn't do Endless Night for 2 years there. 2000.
Ida was a stronger hurricane and did more damage in the lower parishes.
Yes,
just that Katrina broke the levees.
Yeah.
Well, Katrina also shut down the economy there for 2 years.
Yeah. Right.
Well, New Orleans has also spent $14 billion in infrastructure in the last 5 years.
Absolutely, and they prepared for that. So there's different problems with hurricanes that come about, but the story is that when 2007 we returned to New Orleans, I had a dream with Chad Savage, my graphic designer,
mm-hmm.
The priestess of voodoo, the voodoo queen Bloody Mary, and me all collaborated on the graphic design and stuff like that, and mysteriously Fred appeared to me in a dream with the tattoos.
Mm.
So he's kind of like a Guy Fawkes mask, but right. with these tattoos. And Fred said, I'm going to run your parties for you right now. I'm going to look over you. And our job is to go around the world and bring people to New Orleans on Halloween.
And Bloody Mary does a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
An endless night in New Orleans.
Right.
And she also has a haunted a museum, a voodoo witch shop and museum. And she does tours. And she's one of the only tour guides allowed in St. Louis Cemetery number 1 and 2. Where Marie Laveau's tombs are.
Right.
Because a few years ago, somebody decided to paint her tomb Pepto-Bismol pink, and the Archdiocese of New Orleans was like, no more tourists. You have to come through a tour guide.
Right.
Well, but I look forward to reading about New Orleans vampire lore in your magazine, because I'm very fascinated. I did take the vampire
He's
tour.
He's going to read all of it. Absolutely.
Which I'm sure is going to only scratch the surface of what was there and all sorts of crazy stuff.
I was so excited to do it because I was born there.
Yeah.
Right, and it's...
And you guys have that connection.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Like, let me make something very clear. There's locals and natives.
Yeah.
And the natives are my partners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I have partners that are advisors and business partners in Endless Night, the New Orleans Vampire Ball. And it's really important to respect the natives. They're people that have been there for generations.
Right.
Locals are like the people that roll in Mardi Gras in 1969, and they're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to work at the Feet's Blacksmith shop as a bartender for 25 years.
Right.
Okay. And New Orleans is very much a Wild West city
mm-hmm.
in the South with an incredible history.
Yeah. No, I lived there for 6 months, and it was... Yeah, I'm one of those dilettantes, like you said, but I loved it. It was
the city chooses people.
Yeah, well, they didn't choose me.
Okay, apparently not. But
even if you don't get to stay there, sometimes it calls you back over and over again. It's not, you know, some people are born there and it's a tie and you go back over and over again if you don't live there.
Right.
And some people just show up there and they can't ever leave again. It's like, there's just an energy to the city itself.
100%.
Yeah, well, the energy left me go. Have you ever been to New Orleans?
I have. I went to New Orleans for a vampire ball.
Oh, that's right. Anyway, where does the time go? First off, I want to say congratulations to you and congratulations to your bride-to-be and to your future stepchildren. That's wonderful news. And tell everybody what you got going on for this next month going into Halloween.
Well, we're doing pending hurricanes. And global warming, we're planning on being on Halloween weekend in New Orleans at the House of Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Salem 2 weeks earlier.
Yep, Salem 2 weeks earlier, our new first Salem Vampire Ball weekend, which is going to be like a vampire con.
That's great.
But New Orleans is our flagship event, and it's our first time back. A lot of people are really worried about going to New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to tell you, they need us.
I agree.
And I will also tell people I have been to the New Orleans Endless Nights Ball, and one of the most fun times I've ever had.
It was amazing.
Just make sure you book your hotel for the latter half of October. Don't try and go there for 3 weeks. Don't go try and go there for a month because until about the middle of the month, all the hotels are being used for frontline workers who are doing recovery efforts in lower parishes in the bayou.
Right. So and that's wonderful. And you've got a lot of virtual events coming up too. I've been invited to a couple of them.
October 1st, we're doing the Long Black Veil. That's the countdown, beginning of the countdown to Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing we do the Long Black Veil events around the equinoxes and the Sabbaths. So we have like tomorrow night. We have one. I'm going to be doing it from Mexico.
Okay.
We do online rituals.
All right.
And rituals are kind of like theatrical, immersive energy manipulation extravaganzas.
Wow. That sounds great.
Yeah, like it's like a voodoo ritual, but with fangs.
Okay. And Rachel, when does the magazine come out officially, or is it already out?
It's out. It came out this last week.
The
New Orleans guide and all that. And then we have another issue coming out on October 13th.
So how do people, what's the website? How do people
do this all?
I don't know how Rachel does this.
She sits there with a baby on her lap.
I sit there with a baby on my boob while doing this. I'm breastfeeding.
What a lucky baby.
Oh, God. Yeah. I have a lot of help. I have my fiance and my ex-husband who help with the kids.
But you're a driven woman.
Yeah.
And you're a hard worker.
And my fiance is the one that makes the pewter onks for Sebastian.
Yeah, we used to have them made by Alchemy Gothic, but I wanted them in different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe was like, I can do that.
Okay.
Cheaper, better, and faster in the home. So we made red ones and green ones and all sorts of colors. We're going to make a pink one for Joy Felicity, my beautiful companion for 3 years. We're going to make her a pink onk for breast of work, cancer awareness, and Barbie.
That's wonderful.
Right. So give the website one more time.
VampireMagazine.com and Sabertooth.com.
Okay.
And EndlessNight.com.
And I'm sorry?
And EndlessNight.com.
Okay.
And yeah, my fiance started a manufacturing company during the pandemic. He also made some spirit boards that are bat-shaped.
Wow.
Cool.
Endless Night branding.
That's great.
And it's Mythosis Manufacturing doing all that.
He's very good with his hands. He's very, very cool guy.
Yeah. And Nicole is Nicole Six Books.
I am at Nicole Six Books on Instagram and Nicole H Six on Facebook. And exciting things are happening. I have lots that I've been sharing with my fan base. So yeah, come check it out. Also, please go to renegaderadio.com where you can read my blog. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. It's a full moon tonight.
It is,
and so watch out for the werewolves.
We've already domesticated them.
Okay. Now, one last question. Do full moons affect vampires too? Or?
Yeah, the full moon's a mirror, and mirror is the symbol of the vampire.
Hmm.
Well.
There is also the customary howl at Endless Night events at midnight.
Yeah, but that's to honor the wolves.
Okay, well, there you go. You learn something new every day.
You can get Black Veils Vampire Master Edition at vampiremagazine.com. It's an exclusive deal where you can get the hardcover and softcover. That is my, if people want to know about the vampire culture, that's where I tell them to start.
Okay. I'm going to start right there, and everybody Have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye. Bye.